and read verse 9. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. The psalmist here is talking to God, and what we want to center our thoughts upon is we have thought of thy loving kindness. First of all, just consider the first four words. We have thought of. We have thought of many things that we could put after that, those four words. Many things on any given day that we could put after those four words. But what we read here is an example to us, a pattern for us concerning our thoughts. We have thought of thy. We have thought of thy. So it is a thought concerning God, which would certainly be in accord with what Paul wrote in Philippians 4, verse 8. If we turn there, we'll be looking at several scriptures tonight. We usually pretty much stick to our text, but we'll look at several scriptures. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, certainly we have thought of thy. Meets all of the criteria there. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We have thought of thy loving kindness. So that will be our subject, thinking upon the loving kindness of God. First of all, we want to briefly state the importance of thoughts. We could spend much time, we could spend a series of messages upon the subject of thoughts, but that's really not our point of emphasis here. We have thought of thy loving kindness. It seems like it's a deliberate act. We have thought of thy loving kindness. I don't think it's something that just passed through his mind quickly. It's something that he deliberately thought upon. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, addressed personal responsibility for thoughts when he used repeatedly the word take in relation to thought. In Matthew 6, verse 25, verse 27, verse 28, verse 31, he said, take no thought. That's deliberate. Take no thought. Taking thought. Again, deliberate. The taking, that's a deliberate act. Take ye thought. So Christ addressed the subject of the responsibility of our thoughts. We are responsible for what we think upon. We may not be able to help everything that goes through our mind. Certainly we can't. But we can discipline ourselves not to think upon much that goes through our minds, not to dwell upon certain things. Paul, under inspiration of God, declared the same, that is, responsibility for thoughts, in Romans 12, verse 2. When he said that we were to renew our mind, renewing of your mind, that's deliberate. You don't accidentally renew your mind. It's something we deliberately do. Also notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and verse 5, casting down imaginations. You cast down something, that's a deliberate act. It's deliberate. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity, again, that is a deliberate act, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Philippians 2, verse 5, let, that's deliberate, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we see these are deliberate thoughts. Philippians 4, verse 8 again, think on these things. Again, that's deliberate. Peter said the same thing, basically, in 1 Peter 1:13. He said, gird up the loins. That's deliberate. It's a call to ready and prepare. He says, gird up the loins of your mind. That is, ready your mind. Prepare your mind. There are a lot of other scriptures concerning the mind. There is a great need to discipline our thoughts. Because we read in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That very statement reveals that thoughts are a very dynamic force. They have great personal impact upon us. We become what we think. They have a great influence upon us. And there are many repercussions of our thoughts. Now this is seen, if we go over to the book of Lamentations, the third chapter. Jeremiah lived again in the final days of the kingdom of Judah, which was crumbling. Throughout the book of Jeremiah, he preached the messages that God had given him. And he did so with a very heavy burden. And he did so for about 40 years. But in spite of those messages, the people continued on in their religious formality. They would mock and they would ridicule the messages of Jeremiah. They absolutely saw nothing wrong with themselves. And they felt very, very secure in their sinful condition. When you come to the book of Lamentations, the nation has now fallen. Judah has fallen. Jerusalem has been reduced to rubble by the invading Babylonian army. And the book of Lamentations is just that. It's a book of weeping. It's a book of wailing, a book of sobbing and grieving. Not from the people, but from Jeremiah, grieving over the devastation of Judah. And in Lamentations 3, verses 1 through 20, he describes his great affliction that he was feeling. And as you read through those verses, we're not going to for time's sake, but you see there's a tone of sorrow. There's a tone of gloom, despondency, depression, misery. You read through those verses and everything is joyless. Everything is woeful. But then you come to verse 21. And he says, "This I recall to my mind." He began to think upon something different. He began to think upon something different than the destruction of Judah. "This I recall to my mind." And what was it that he recalled to his mind? Verse 22. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." So he began to think upon the Lord's mercies, because his compassions fail not. He began to think upon the Lord's compassions. "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." So he's thinking of the Lord's mercies. He's thinking of the Lord's faithfulness. He's thinking of the Lord's compassion. And then in verse 24, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul." But back in verse 21, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have high hope." Reading verses 1 through 20, there's very little hope, if any. But he changes his thought process and he begins to think upon God. He says, "I have hope." And then he tells us the verses we just read, verses 22 through 24, what it was that he thought upon. And then at the end there of verse 24, he says, "Therefore will I hope in him." So his thoughts have changed, and his life is now filled with hope. And you can go on. You see other things that he thought. The Lord is good. And it just goes on and on. But my point is this, that his life changed simply because his thoughts changed. "This I recall to my mind." Recall can destroy us. If we don't recall the right things, it can destroy you. It can ruin a marriage. It can ruin many relationships. Somebody does you wrong, and you just continually recall that. That'll destroy you. You can't serve God under those circumstances. So it's very important what we recall. And we can only recall what's already there. If you've never thought upon God, you can't recall that. So we have to develop a pattern of thinking upon God. And the more we think upon God, the more able we are when needs be to recall our thoughts upon God. So there was verse 21 is really a transition in Jeremiah's thought process. "This I recall to my mind." It was a transition to his spirit. "Therefore have I hope. I have desire." And what do you think his desires were? They were toward God, because that's what he's thinking upon. "Therefore have I hope." Hope is an expectation. Where were his expectations? Well, it's what he was thinking upon, the Lord. His expectations were in God. You put your expectation in people, you will get depressed. You put your expectation in God, and you will be encouraged. Hope is optimism. So he now has an optimism. And again, what is the basis of his optimism? God. Hope is assurance. And he now has assurance. And again, the basis of that assurance is Jeremiah. Or is the Lord. So when Jeremiah said, "This I recall to my mind," what he's saying is, "I remembered." If we say, "I recall," we're saying, "I remember." I remembered. He remembered God's mercies. It's good to remember the Lord's mercies. He remembered God's compassions. He remembered God's faithfulness. He remembered that the Lord was his portion. And we hear the psalmist saying in Psalm 20 and verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We will remember. And remembering his name, what will we trust in? We'll trust in him. Very important what we think upon, what we remember. Psalm 63, verses 5 and 6. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed. I'll be filled with joy when I remember thee. A lot of times we can say things will get better when I remember thee. And then he went on to say, and meditate on thee in the night watches. So it was more than just remembering something. He recalled it to his mind, and then there was a deliberate act of meditating upon it, giving it serious thought. Meditation is a lost art. The Bible tells us many times that we're to meditate on the Word of God. People meditate on the wrong things, and their lives show it. But meditate upon the Lord. Meditate upon the things of God. In Psalm 77, verses 10 and verse 11. And I said, this is my infirmity. It's almost, if you would stop there and not read any further, it would be like he's saying, this is it. This is what I've settled upon. But he goes on. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Deliberate thoughts means that we have to discipline our minds. We hear the psalmist say in Psalm 105 and verse 5, remember his marvelous works that he hath done. His wonders and judgments, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Remember. Remember these things. Oh, how important it is what we think upon. Again, our text says, Psalm 48:9, we have thought of thy. Whatever attribute of God that you put on the other side of thy, that's spiritually healthy thinking, to think upon God, to think upon God. And as great as he is, if we think upon God, there are unfathomable depths and riches in thoughts upon God. We need to discipline our minds to think upon the Lord. Discipline our minds to think upon Scripture. That's why, again, we've stressed over and over through the years. Some have gotten it. Most probably never will. When you read the Scriptures, take something with you throughout the day. Meditate upon it. Turn it over and over and over in your minds. It'll help you. It'll help you somewhere down the road. You'll be able to recall thoughts. It's very important what we put in our minds. So that brings us to the subject of the thoughts of our text. We have thought of thy loving kindness. Thy loving kindness. It's an attribute of God. It's really two attributes of God, love and kindness. The word loving kindness, as it relates to God, appears 29 times in the Word of God. And we want to look at several of these verses. We'll mention the others. In Psalm 17, verse 7, show thy marvelous loving kindness. Show thy marvelous loving kindness. The loving kindness of God is something we ought to marvel in. It's a great marvel. It's a great wonder. It's a great marvel because of who He shows His loving kindness to you and I, in spite of ourselves. And we can think upon the marvel of that throughout a day. Psalm 26, and verse 3. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. I've deliberately set it before my eyes. That is, I cannot help but see it. We need to think upon His loving kindness. We need to train ourselves to see, to recognize the loving kindness of God. It's everywhere. It's everywhere in our life. You can be having the most miserable day you've ever had, but if you open your eyes, you'll be able to see God's loving kindness is everywhere. It's everywhere in your life. It's everywhere in all of our lives. We see also the word is mentioned in Psalm 36:7 and also in Psalm 36:10. But notice over in Psalm 40, verses 10 and verse 11. About halfway down, a little more than half, it says, I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. That we've made it through another day is the loving kindness of God. It preserves us. It's everywhere. It's everywhere in our lives. It's everywhere in the lives of those whom we love. Psalm 42, verse 8. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness. In the daytime and in the night His songs shall be with me. The Lord will command His loving kindness. In other words, the Lord shows His loving kindness however He pleases. He will command His loving kindness. Where we fall short many times is we don't identify the love and the kindness of God. And again, it's everywhere. Psalm 51 in verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to thy loving kindness. This, of course, is David's prayer of repentance. He knows he needs mercy. And mercy is a branch of the Lord's loving kindness. It's a branch of His love. It's a branch of His kindness. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. There's never been a day in our lives where God has given us what we deserve. Never. We wouldn't be here if he did. And that's an act of his loving kindness. The mercy of God is an act of his loving kindness. The grace of God giving us what we don't deserve is an act of his loving kindness. Notice Psalm 63, verse 3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. It's better than life itself. The loving kindness of God. Psalm 103, verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. He crowns our life with loving kindness and tender mercies. Psalm 107 and verse 43. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they, the wise, shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. That is, they'll be able to recognize. A wise individual recognizes the loving kindness of God. And even when God sends trials into our lives, it's an act of the loving kindness of the Lord. Again, it's everywhere. We see loving kindness in Psalm 119:89, Psalm 119:149, Psalm 119:159. But notice in Psalm 138 and verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Loving kindness of God is a basis of praise. It's a basis of worship. We have thought on thy loving kindness. It's something we ought to think about every time in preparation to worship the Lord. It's the loving kindness of God that brought you here tonight. It's a loving kindness of God that enabled you to be here tonight. It's a loving kindness of God that put a desire in your heart to be here. Psalm 143 in verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness. So God speaks to us. And if God speaks to us, whatever he says, whether it's rebuke or comfort, the very fact that God would even speak to us is an act of loving kindness. I mean, think about it. There's people you know that get mad at you and won't speak to you. Doesn't really matter. God speaks to me. Not going to ruin my day. Someone doesn't speak. The Lord speaks loving kindness in the morning. We need to hear him. And he prays here that we would hear the loving kindness of God. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. There's several other verses before we get here that we find the word loving kindness. But in Jeremiah 31:3, this is a very familiar verse. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Now, if he's loved us with an everlasting love, and there is a connection between his love and his loving kindness, no doubt, then it must be an everlasting loving kindness also. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That God would draw us to himself is an act of the loving kindness of God. So 29 times we see the word. And then there are three times, which gives us a total of 32. There are three times where the plural is used. Notice in Psalm 25 and verse 6. Psalms 25, verse 6. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. And he uses the plural in Psalm 89, verse 49, and also in Isaiah 63 and verse 7. So there is the loving kindness of God. There are the loving kindnesses of God. But our text says, we have thought of thy loving kindness. When was the last time you sat and thought upon the loving kindness of God? So we have to ask ourselves, what is loving kindness? Again, it's attributed to God. So, it's something that God does. It's something that relates to God, toward us. Loving kindness. Well, it's obvious. It's God's love. And it's God's kindness. It's really two things. Someone can be kind to you, then not necessarily love you. Happens all the time. You can be kind to someone and not necessarily love them. But it's God's love and kindness. It's God's kindness rooted in love. Rooted in His love. Rooted in His love for us. So God's loving kindness is God's love displayed in kindness. God's love displayed in kindness. It's not God's kind love. It never appears that way. It always appears God's loving kindness. The emphasis is upon His love. That's where the emphasis is. That's the root. God's love. And God's love is as great and amazing as Himself. 1 John says God is love. Not just God is loving, He certainly is. But He's more than that. He is love. Which just simply is a declaration, again, that His love is as great as Himself. So it's love that cannot be fully comprehended. It's love that cannot be fully explained, just as the person of God cannot be fully comprehended. So God's loving kindness is His love displayed in kindness, or kindness rooted in His love. So God's love for us speaks of an attachment to us. It attaches God to us. You say, someone loves me, there's an attachment there. There's a bond. If we talk about God's love for us, God has attached Himself to us. That's amazing, considering who we are, considering what we are. God doesn't need us. God can do all things without us. God's chosen to use us, but He didn't have to do that. So he attaches himself to us. That's his love. Again, that's amazing. It's his endearment toward us. And again, considering who and what we are, that's amazing love. There's no love like it. There is, we've said it many times, there is not a person on this planet that would love you or me or anyone else if they knew every thought that goes through your mind. If they knew everything about you, they would not love you. Only God. Only God. He's the only one who can love in that way. So it's an amazing love. And for this reason, we're called upon in 1 John 3, verse 1, to behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. We're to behold it. That means we're to ponder upon it. It's something we probably ought to ponder every single day. God's love for us. To behold is to observe, to ponder, to think upon. But it's also to observe. Observe His love throughout the day. Gives you breath, air to breathe. Gives you breath. That's love. And again, you could just, there's no limit to the examples of the love of God. To behold what manner of love, and again, it's not behold His love for us, it's behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Behold the way that He loves. He loves differently than anyone else. His manner of love is not like the manner of anyone else. Everyone else's love has a degree of selfishness in it somewhere. Not God. Means to give serious thought to the way He loves us. To carefully consider the way He loves us. To contemplate upon it. To concentrate upon it. In other words, discipline your mind to think upon how God loves us. Think upon the love of the Lord. It's something we ought to choose to think upon. The love of the Lord. Again, we have thought of thy loving kindness. Notice it's not we have thought of thy love and kindness. It's thy loving, ing, present tense, continuous. So this is something that's ongoing. His love is ongoing, and therefore His kindness is ongoing. Again, the very fact that it's present, the very fact that it is ongoing makes it amazing. Thy loving kindness. So what is kindness? What is kindness? Well, kindness, some people would think kindness is when somebody gives me my way all the time. Well, that's not kindness. But kindness is care. Kindness is concern. It's an act of care. It's an act of concern. So God's loving kindness is God's loving care and concern toward us. God's loving care and concern toward us. Think upon that. Think upon the loving care and concern that God has for us. Kindness is warmth and tenderness. So loving God's loving kindness is God's warmth and tenderness toward us. God is very tender toward us. He loves us, and we reject Him all the time. We neglect Him all the time. We put other things ahead of Him all the time. And yet He just continually manifests His warmth and tenderness toward us. Even when He chastises us, He does so tenderly. If He didn't, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here. God's loving kindness is His warmth and tenderness toward us. Think upon that. Kindness is thoughtfulness. Just thoughtfulness. We read in Psalm 115, verse 12, the Lord hath been mindful of us. You know, there's never been a time when I haven't been on the mind of God. Never been a moment when I haven't been upon the mind of God. So it's God's loving thoughts of us. We sin against Him, and He has loving thoughts of us. That's amazing. That's the loving kindness of God. Kindness is compassion. Kindness is sympathy. So God's loving kindness is His loving compassion and sympathy for us. God sympathizes with us where no one else would. If you let someone down as many times as we do God, there wouldn't be much sympathy. But God pities His children. It's His loving kindness. Kindness is generosity. So it's God's loving generosity. God's loving benevolence toward us. God pours blessings down upon us every single day. God is generous to us. He's so generous to us that He withholds some things because He knows it would ruin us. It's the generosity of the Lord. Kindness is gentleness. It goes along with tenderness. God's loving gentleness toward us. God treats us gently, even when He chastises us. You think upon the loving gentleness of God toward us. Kindness is helpfulness. You help someone, that's an act of kindness. We read in Psalm 46:1, God is a very present help. So God's loving kindness is God's loving help. God helps us every day, helps us every moment of every day. He helps us when we don't appreciate His help. We've all, I'm sure, have said at some time, well, that's the last time I do anything for them. I've done that 1,000 times now, not once have they said thank you. Aren't you glad God isn't like that? God helps us all the time. And most of the time, we don't even recognize it. God's loving kindness. Kindness is hospitality. Hospitality is basically receiving someone. So God's loving kindness is Him lovingly receiving us. He does it every day. He receives me. He receives you. That's the loving kindness of God. Kindness is friendship. God's loving kindness would be His loving friendship toward us. And you could probably come up with all sorts of words or examples of kindness. But that gives you an idea. We have thought of Thy loving kindness. And again, it's loving kindness. It's continuous. It's ongoing. It's in spite of ourselves. Oh, how loving God has been to me. Oh, how kind God has been to me. The loving kindness of God. We need to discipline our minds to think upon the Lord. It's never wrong to think upon God. Think upon the Lord. It puts us in a right state of mind. A right state of mind is very important. It's very important to our spiritual health. It is a wrong state of mind that hinders so many spiritually. And how we think has much to do with our spirituality. What we think upon has much to do with our spirituality. And our spirituality has much to do with how we think. How we think. We have thought of thy. Think upon God. Discipline your mind every single day to think, to take some time and meditate upon God. Just pick a topic. The power of God. The love of God. On and on you could go. Or think upon a verse of Scripture. But so important that we discipline our minds to think upon the Lord. Think upon the things of the Lord. I have never gotten discouraged thinking upon God. It has not yet happened, and I don't think it ever will. I think upon myself. I think upon other people. I can get pretty discouraged. We need to, when we get trapped in a cycle of bad thoughts, we need to recall some things, just like Jeremiah. We need to recall God. But once again, you can't recall it if you haven't thought upon it in the past. So the more we think upon God, seems to me, the easier it gets to recall those thoughts. And oh, how helpful that will be to us when we can just recall thoughts of God. It'll help us. It'll help us, and really doesn't matter what the circumstance is. So God help us to discipline our minds, because we do have a responsibility, what we think upon, what we meditate upon. So that God would help us to discipline our minds to think upon the Lord. Brother Jim, if you'd come.